Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Calibre Mining, traded on the TSX under the symbol CXB and on the OTCQX under the symbol CXBMF. We are chatting again with the Vice President of Corporate Development and IR, Ryan King. We are also joined by Tom Gallo, Senior VP of Growth at Calibre Mining. Now again, Calibre Mining, a production company focused in Nicaragua as well as in Nevada through that takeover of Fiore with the Pan Gold Mine as well as the Gold Rock Project. We're going to focus a fair bit more really high level here in terms of recapping some of the recent news that's come out over the last about month and a half. Now we have some high grade drilling from the exploration program that is ongoing. We'll cover that later on. Initially, let's start talking about production, more specifically production guidance, because June 22nd, company released a news release that is showing guidance, at least on the production front, increasing through 2023 and 2024. Initially, we're seeing headline increases here, 2023 increasing production to 250 to 275,000 ounces. And in 2024, that increased 275,000 to 300,000 ounces gold production. Ryan, let's start with you. The company continues to expand production. How are you doing this?
Cool. Thanks, guys, for having us back on the show again. And, you know, I think it's wise to always go back to, you know, we acquired these assets in Q4 of 2019. And when we acquired them, really what was going to happen is the Libertad facility was heading towards closure because it was out of ore. The communities were aware, government was aware. And at the time, we had about 280,000 ounces of reserve, which was all at the Limon property. And so we were going to be producing about 50, 60, 70,000 ounces a year for the foreseeable future. But because of the thoughtfulness and the critical thinking of our CEO, we started to deploy and evolve a hub and spoke approach and then generate cash and reinvest into the assets to convert lower category resources to reserves. And during that path, we've been able to steadily increase production year over year, but more importantly, after producing 350,000 ounces over the last 2 years, we've increased our reserve base up to over a million ounces of gold, over a 250% increase from what we acquired, and are now sitting at about a 4.6 grams per ton gold reserve grade average across the assets. So really, when you look at it, it's a grade-driven production increase, and it's because of the commitment that we've made to investing in increasing the confidence in our deposits, increasing our investment into exploration. And so what we're seeing here is really the volumes mined and milled will not increase, but the grades are steadily increasing. And we're seeing that year over year since acquiring the assets as well. So grade-driven production increases leading to these increases, 15% next year and 25% increase in 2024. Which I think inevitably will lead to, you know, all things being equal in this inflationary environment, will lead to a lower all-in sustaining cost per ounce. So we're pretty excited about what's happening here, given that we're continuing to find excellent new zones and high-grade zones as well.
Yeah, Ryan, it's been exciting to watch and follow along with Calibre as you've increased your mill capacity by increasing the grade, but also that hub and spoke model where you've brought more and more deposits into the fold, and you've got a couple development stage ones waiting in the wings. One news release that came out recently, though, just on June 16th, was that you received the environmental permit, and that's for the operations over at Profond Central. That's going to be an open pit mine. I know that's still going to drive production maybe a year or so out, but walk us through how that will continue to feed the beast.
Well, yeah, no, you said it well, Shad. We've got over at Libertad, when we first started this, there's 2.2 million tons of capacity of installed capacity there. There's no capital required at that facility. And so in Q1 of 2020, we began to roll out the utilization of that mill by hauling material from Limon and processing it at Libertad. And that evolved even further in 2021 as we were advancing the Pavón Norte open pit project up there, which had an average grade of about 3 grams per ton gold. And we were successful in permitting that in 2020. And then we started to haul material in 2021, so utilizing more of the installed capacity. So today we've got over 1 million tons of excess capacity. But what's exciting about the Provence Central work that we've done, and keep in mind, I mean, we've got a very strong team on the ground, transparently communicating with all of our stakeholders there, engaging with the communities, which has brought us to this point in time where we've got the approval to develop and to operate the Provence Central pit, which is a few kilometers away from the Provence Norte pit. But what's exciting is that this pit here has about a 6.5 gram reserve grade. We're a little bit over double the average grade of Provence Norte. So if we're hauling 1,000 tons a day down to the Libertad facility, we won't be using more of the facility. We'll just be getting a lot more gold because of the doubling of the grade. So it's a very exciting opportunity for us. And we still have over 1 million tons of excess, readily available capacity there for additional growth beyond what we talked about for our multi-year outlook.
Guys, let's talk a little bit about costs, because Ryan, you mentioned that, look, the cost should be remaining similar, if not lower, because of the higher grade. Are you taking down strip ratio? How are you going to control these costs still in this inflationary environment? Understanding that, yes, high grade ore is good, but everybody is looking at costs right now.
That's true, and totally prudent. And I think that's where we get the benefit of Darren, our CEO, who is over 30 years at Newmont and been through numerous environments like this throughout his career. And you know, going into our budget programs for this year, we were building in contingencies and additional costs into the production profile so that we knew that, hey, as we roll out this year, let's anticipate some, you know, 5 to 10% increase in costs across the board, if not more, for things like diesel and steel liners and balls and reagents and consumables. So we went into the year, I think, with a good conservative approach. And, you know, we anticipated and expected that Q1 was going to be one of our higher cost quarters. You know, our guidance for the year was $1,200 to $1,275 all-in sustaining costs for 220,000 to 235,000 ounces. And we actually came in below the low end of our all-in sustaining costs for the first quarter. So positioning us well for the rest of the year, but keeping in mind that, yeah, no, we have to keep a very close eye on these costs. But when you look forward beyond just this year, yeah, it's very difficult to know where inflation is going to take us. And that's kind of why I caveat it with the all things being equal to today. And that's because, you know, if we look out, you know, we're not going to see too many variances from strip ratios and others. But what we will see is increasing grade and similar volumes mined and similar volumes milled. So on that basis alone, you know, you're going to see higher production because of the grade. And that should lead to, on a per ounce basis, lower costs. So we're pretty excited about that opportunity in front of us. You know, at the same time, we'll still be reinvesting significantly back into the business in terms of, you know, new satellite deposit development, which requires infrastructure, which requires roads and power. We're doing that now for Provence Central, for example. We're already advancing the development there. We anticipate for that to be in production Q1 of 2023. And then at the same time, we'll be advancing the Eastern Borosi project, where we've got over 225,000 ounces of reserves and a very significant large land package. And we're actively drilling there now. So by probably mid-year next year, we'll be in a position to start mining and hauling from the high-grade open pits at Eastern Borosi. So all of these things are going to be part of our multi-year outlook, which I think at the end of the day will result in lower costs.
Well, it's going to be exciting to follow along as these other pits come into production, whether it's Eastern Borosi or Provence Central. But Tom, let's get you in the mix here and let's talk a little bit about the exploration focus the company has. I see Calibre as a hybrid company. It's a production growth story, but it's also an exploration story. There's so much drilling going on. So just give us a recap of how many drills are turning. Where do you see some of the growth coming from? And maybe highlight some of those high grade zingers we just saw out of the Limón area.
Yeah, absolutely, Chad. And, you know, that's the real interesting part here and the real opportunity with Calibre is, you know, we've been ramping up to 15 rigs. It's north of $20 million planned to spend this year in Nicaragua. Part of an overall exploration strategy of $40 to $42 million of exploration spend guided this year, inclusive of Nicaragua and Nevada. You know, in Nicaragua, like I said, ramped up to 15 rigs now. The focus has been widespread. You know, as we've demonstrated with our new operating strategy, moving material around country is something we've proven quite adept at doing, and utilizing as much of that excess capacity, as Ryan alluded to, 1 million tons of excess capacity, you know, is obviously in our best interest, as there's little incremental capital to, you know, that we have to be exposed to from an inflationary perspective. We don't have to build a mill. We basically have 2 El Limon-sized mills sitting idle at La Libertad. So the focus has been widespread, but you've seen lately, as you alluded to, a couple of high-grade press releases, one in May and one just yesterday, coming out of the Pantheon area, which is on the El Limon property. This is a new area. This is not included currently in any of the resources that we have on the property, and therefore not included in our multi-year outlook, which tops out, as we've set, at 300,000 ounces in 2024. So that's really exciting to us because, you know, we've got that excess mill capacity. We're having success with the drill bit. But, you know, what's really key for us is sort of employing new technology to the exploration technique here in Nicaragua. A lot of past production in Nicaragua was found outcropping, you know, out of the ground, artisanal miners and this type of thing. And, you know, it's pretty easy to make discoveries in that type of environment. But when you look, you know, we included a figure in our press release. It was figure 3 of yesterday's press release. We just completed a VTEM survey. And what we've uncovered with this survey is a 6-kilometer long trend with a parallel 6-kilometer long trend from the Pantheon project, and from which is where we've got those drill results, and from the historical past producing Santa Pancha operation. Now, Santa Pancha had 1.3 million ounces of historical production. And you can see, if you look at that figure 3, considerable trend extension, if you will, strike extension potential as you step to the northeast. So that's kind of what we're doing now. You know, we've got 2 rigs at Shaft 9, at the Pantheon North and Shaft 9 targets. We're bringing in 1 additional drill to step out along that trend and look to infill, you know, effectively information that we just got over the last month or so.
So these results, as you can see in that figure, which we will post below this interview, some very high grades over some nice widths too. That headline number of a little over 66 grams per ton gold over 5.6 meters. Also that 30 grams per ton over another 5 meters. Now, I understand this is still early on. As you said, the first news release with these high grade results came out on May 16th. How does this play into the growth? To your title there, Tom, your senior VP of growth. How does this drilling play into growth outside of what we've already talked about in terms of forecasted production?
Well, you know, look, it's twofold. You know, we're talking about a global reserve grade of, you know, just north of 4.5 grams. So obviously the higher grade material that you haul to the mill, the more gold production you have, and thus growing your production profile, if you will. And again, this high grade material not included in that forecast. So we'll look to get this into resource by the end of this year, and, you know, hopefully develop that into a feasible mine plan here at some point. But also, again, there's that tonnage component. We talked about that 1 million tons of idle capacity. Even a small incremental increase, you know, from 1,000 tons a day could potentially feed the beast, as you put it, at La Libertad, which could also help drive production growth. But really, for us, the focus here is on that grade piece. You know, Pantheon, where we're mining about 1 kilometer or so away underground from these new results, hosts a grade, a global reserve grade of over 7 grams per ton. So again, that's relative to the caliber total Nicaragua grade of 4.5. So all these incremental grade increases gives us that advantage of moving the same amount of volume, which costs the same amount of money, but obviously you're getting more metal out of that. So that will help drive production growth in the future.
Hey, and just to add to that, what's really exciting about when you look at this VTEM map from our perspective as well is that this Pantheon North Zone is all new and unfolding as we go. But what you can see on that map, a couple things. You can see a very distinct high-low resistivity contact, and that's where the team is finding. Well, you can see on the map the past production along the Santa Pancha vein over 1.3 million ounces and still a ton of room to go to the north and the northeast. And then on the other side, where the Pantheon North and Pantheon Mine is up to the north and northeast, you can see the trend along there as well. So we think we're into a multi-kilometer potential system here that has a lot of opportunity for growth and discovering new zones. So it's pretty exciting when you look at that map correlating to what's been produced in the past and what we're currently mining along the Limon open pits as well.
Well, and maybe just one more to highlight, Ryan, that I'd love you to expand on is it's not just the areas we've already talked about. It's not just Eastern Borosi. It's not just Pavón Central. It's not just the Pantheon and Limón area. But you also have some of those new targets you started drilling, like Volcán and Tranca, that are near the mill that could also be very accretive ounces. So maybe just speak to some of the other exploration success the company is also having.
Yeah, I mean, Tom could probably talk to this as well. But just, you know, it's not just at Limón. Where we're actively drilling. You know, we not too long ago, we had some results coming from Pavón to the south of Pavón Central, where we've had, I think it was close to 12 grams over 10 meters. So we're, you know, we see potential to the south of Pavón Central. And then we've got multiple rigs up at Eastern Borosi. That's an exciting one for me, because at one point in time, we had an earn-in JV with IM Gold up there, and we outlined over 500,000 ounces of inferred resources between open pit and underground. And, you know, we see good potential in these low sulfidation epithermal veins across, I think it's almost 176 square kilometer land package. And we're just getting going there now. So there's a lot of potential up there, not just for gold, but also some high grade silver as well, as we've seen in the past with previous deposits that have been discovered at East Dome and Blag. Some of the names of some of the deposits or zones that we've discovered over the years. So there's a lot of potential up at Eastern Borosi, particularly when you look at the region up there. Up at Eastern Borosi, it's within the what we call the Golden Triangle. And when you look at that whole area, there's past production and current production of 8 million ounces of gold. So it's a very geologically rich and prospective region. So there's a lot happening across the whole land package there that we own. And at the same time, we're advancing new concessions, which I think presents a really compelling opportunity. Maybe talk a little bit about Buena Vista, Tom.
Yeah. You know, Buena Vista and La Fortuna, two new concessions that we were granted last year. We've got applications in right now and expect to have drill permits some point later this year. Got field crews out developing. Now, Buena Vista sits just to the northeast, believe it or not. The trend, again, all that mineralization is trending northeast at Limon. It sits northeast of Limon, and it's a very we've had very interesting results thus far with field crews out mapping, sampling, and just doing the analysis on the VTEM to develop drill targets. So when we have the drill permits granted, we're ready to go. And La Fortuna, which sits just southwest of La Libertad, another very compelling preserved system. Lots of silica at surface, suggesting that we've got a cap on the system, and the veins are actually sitting subsurface and haven't yet been eroded away or mined historically. So that whole entire northwest, southeast trending mineral system along the volcanic belt in Nicaragua is incredibly prospective. If you look down even into Costa Rica, the northern part of Costa Rica is the past producing Crescitas mine, which is over a 3 million ounce endowment. Limon is, you know, north of 3 million ounce mineral endowment. So that whole trend of, you know, 5 to 10 million year old rocks is incredibly exciting, incredibly prospective, and we'll look to update the market when we get our drill permits at Buena Vista and La Fortuna.
Okay, Tom, before we move on from Nicaragua, I do want to just get a general growth comment from you then, because you guys have a few producing mines, as well as some more advanced exploration assets, and then it also sounds like now some a bit more new, earlier stage exploration assets. You're drilling high grade, you're producing, growing cash flow as well. In terms of the overall growth perspective, what has you most excited? What do you think even the market might be missing in terms of all these different growth avenues? Because quite frankly, there's so many, I think some people could get a little confused.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of names and things like that in the story. And if you just look at the overall picture, this is a $400 million, talking Canadian dollar, enterprise value company. holistically with our cash balance and our current market cap. And we're producing 225,000-230,000 ounces this year, heading towards 300,000 in the next couple of years. So right there, just on what we've stated, and again, that doesn't include any of these new discoveries that we've talked about. That doesn't include anything in Nevada as far as the Gold Rock project. That right there presents a very sort of, you know, compelling investment case. But, you know, the reinvestment of some of the operating cash flow into the drill bit, spending north of $20 million a year in both jurisdictions, I think is really meaningful, and employing new technology and doing things like looking undercover. Again, I sort of made the comment, most discovery in Nicaragua has been made by tripping over a gold vein outcropping at surface and or, you know, finding artisanal miners or evidence of past artisanal miners and finding a gold vein. You know, this VTEM system combined with some of the TerraSpec analysis that we're doing, looking at various clay minerals to help us vector in, this is sort of big company stuff, new type of technology. We're taking it away from that kind of junior approach where, you know, there's not a lot of budget and you've got to be, you know, very selective in what you do. We're, as we've talked about, looking far and wide within the country, and we're employing this new technology. And that's really already, just in the last couple of years, started to open up a ton of opportunities. As Ryan said, we've grown the business from a 50,000 ounce a year producing story with a closure liability to a sustainable north of 200,000 ounce a year producer with a growing reserve base and grade driven production growth ahead of us. So that's all, you know, incredibly compelling.
Well, I'd like to hear from both of you about the Nevada operations. Let's mostly focus on the Pan mine, but let's also talk about the growth potential and exploration at Gold Rock. Tom, we'll start with you and just bring us through what you're excited about on the Nevada side of the operations.
Yeah, again, the opportunity there was somewhat similar with, you know, that Nicaragua. Having a look at Pan, there was an opportunity to invest in the drill bit and really sort of uncover some things. Pan in particular, having it already be in operation, we were looking to see if there was a way to extend the mine life. What's interesting and what's a key metric that Ryan and I hone in on quite often is Pan's exploration budget or drilling budget for the last 4 years averaged about $1.5 million. This year we're spending $9 million, which is a considerable step up. And, you know, that'll look to bring a whole bunch of exciting targets that the Fiore team has developed over the years and did not have the capital allocated to go and drill. That'll bring those to light. We've already had success this year drilling a number of what we would consider high grade for Pan, you know, as far as being close to and over 1 gram per ton gold over considerable widths. We've had some press releases out earlier this year. So really the focus there is on mine life extension. And at Gold Rock, the focus is on, you know, bringing a project that we would consider to be advanced exploration into a development ready state through de-risking metallurgical drilling, you know, resource conversion, if you will, drilling infill and confidence building drilling, and getting ourselves comfortable with the engineering up to a point where we could, in fact, build that project if we would like to in the future. And you look at Nevada holistically, 40,000-45,000 ounces currently with the addition of Gold Rock, we could see that number, you know, effectively double in the years to come. And again, not included in our multi-year outlook.
Ryan, final comments from you then. Just give us a little overview on Nevada and how that's playing into the strategy here.
Yeah, I mean, guys, from my perspective, you know, we saw the opportunity, given that Fiore was doing the right thing and being fiscally responsible. The opportunity was really to reinvest into the operating Pan mine. And that's why we're doing, you know, a focused 50,000 meter drilling program there. And as Tom mentioned, we're already seeing the benefits of that, even very close to home along the Branham Fault, along the resources that are there, finding new areas, expanding new areas as evidenced by our drill results. In some cases, better widths and better grades. I think the excitement is going to come as we branch out to more distal targets. And, you know, we've got a large land package there. We've got over 220 square kilometers in the Eureka Battle Mountain trend. I think it's very prolific. As Tom mentioned, very prospective at Gold Rock. So, you know, we've got two good assets there. With a little bit of additional reinvestment, we'll probably see mine life extension. We'll see opportunities to optimize. And it's still early days. Remember, you know, it was the beginning of or the end of 2019 when, you know, we were going to be a 50,000 ounce a year producer, and we've significantly turned the assets around in Central America. And I think that the opportunity is different but similar in Nevada, given our strong operating cash flows, our ability to self-fund reinvestment, our ability to, if we so choose, make a construction decision at Gold Rock to self-fund that. So, a very unique opportunity, and it balances out the production portfolio across multiple jurisdictions. So I'm excited for the future, you know, looking at where we're trading at today, what we've got today, what we've been announcing recently, and our strong balance sheet. So really look forward to the future.
All right, guys, really appreciate this update. If anyone listening has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will again post that figure 3 from the recent news release, as well as a link to the company's website, so you can read over all the recent news over that last about month and a half that we covered here. Guys, thank you again for your time. We'll chat when there is some more news that comes out of the market. Hope you all have a great rest of your week.